Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is November 30th, and I cannot believe it's almost the end of 2010. This has been just such a quick and exciting year. I hope that you all are enjoying it, too. Feels like a wild ride out there at a great amusement park, doesn't it, this little trip we call life? So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on some things that are going on. I have a special on my website, www.thehonoringhour.com. There is John Christopher's school, the School of Natural Healing, is offering a special where if you purchase the initial course through an affiliate link, you get the second course free, and that's a really fantastic offer. And also there is an offer on there for new Nature Sunshine members. So if you want to go there and check those out, that will be fantastic. Wanted to give you a heads up on some things that are coming up on my next show in December, which will be the 14th. Wow, getting really close to Christmas. We're going to have an animal communicator, Karen Wrigley, so I hope that you all will join us there. And she's really fantastic. I'm reading her book and enjoying that tremendously. So I just want to say about the person that I have on the show today, Dr. Ballas, she is absolutely fantastic. I've been working with her for nearly 2 years now and find her wit and wisdom not only to be just amazing, but also in some, you know, situations life-saving, and she does it with such charm and with such humor. And she's here to talk to us today about emotional anatomy. So I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Ballas. Are you with us?
Hi, Lynn. I am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, that was such a fun introduction.
Well, you know, I find you just to be so humorous. I love when we have our appointments, because I just find your humor to be amazing, and all the wonderful things that you do. I think that you're just like this amazing little Energizer bunny out there.
Oh, you're so cute. Thank you.
So, now, I've had you on the show before, and you did, you know, tell us a little bit about what you did. So any of the new listeners that we have out there that haven't heard you, would you mind just giving us a real brief background about how you got to be where you are?
Oh, the fun journey story, yes. I have a background in aerospace engineering, so we could say that I really am a rocket scientist, or more affectionately, maybe I'm just a space chick is kind of what my referrals refer to me as. So, in that journey of health and doing some speaking things in that area, just learning more and more about nutrition, and having been on natural health for a while from my own background of having major kidney issues, of being on dialysis, decided to pursue that path a little bit more. So I went back to school and got a degree in nutrition and went back to naturopathic medical school to get my doctorate in naturopathy and start doing this more as a passion of something I believed in and something that I loved. So that kind of brought me to where we are now and just continuing to educate myself and continuing to share that with others.
That's fantastic. So you've actually lived this. This isn't just something that you said, oh, you know, let me just pick this up because it's an area of interest. You've actually healed yourself.
I had a very horrendous journey when I was about 18 to 19 years old. I was a competitive figure skater on a world level and got really sick, and they removed one of my kidneys. Wound up being on dialysis, like on a test program, you know, because I have guinea pig written on my forehead, as a dialysis test patient at Emory University for 4.5 years. It was supposed to be a 5-year program, and I'm like, I'm done, guys. I don't see people getting better here, so I'm leaving. And just kind of met up with one of my really dear friends in Athens, Georgia, and she was doing herbal stuff, and she started helping me and working with me, and I started feeling better and better and better. And to this day, I really don't have to focus that much on my kidney at all anymore. I mean, you know, I have to do a healthy lifestyle, but through nutrition and herbal supplements, it hasn't become a major priority in my life anymore.
Amazing. That's great. That's good news. And that's hopeful out there for everybody that may be suffering from a serious illness or having some kind of a long-term chronic problem.
Yeah, there is hope. I mean, you know, we don't have all the answers in natural health. We don't have all the answers in the medical field either. It's about understanding the body and all aspects of the body and why alarms go off in the body. And instead of approaching that symptomatically, if we can find the root cause and start rebuilding the foundation, then there's much more of a likelihood that the body can rebound, because it does have this innate ability to heal itself. We just have to give it the right tools. You know, you can't really go build a house with one nail. It doesn't turn out so well. So as long as we have the tools for what we're doing, then the body can, you know, pick up the rest.
Right, right. Well, you know, I would love to have you on here 1,000 times a year, because there's so many topics that you could discuss and just I find fascinating. But we did choose that you were going to talk about emotional anatomy today. So can you just go ahead and introduce that topic and tell us a little bit about what that is and how we go about dealing with that?
Sure. This one's fun because it does play a bit on my background, Lynn, of being Jewish. So it does talk about some points on the Kabbalah and how that ties into our emotional well-being. And this is not my information by any means. There's so many people working on this. And Stephen Horn, who is my business partner and the past president of the American Herbalist Guild, taught me most everything that I know on this. As relating it to natural health. And he has a very good friend, Roy Lynn Mortensen, who is writing a book on this that is just super insightful. And I'm not sure when the book's going to be ready, but we can definitely, you know, keep you posted and the listeners posted as to when that would be available. But it's just a very different take on different pathways and different ways to connect things in the body, because we are part of a whole. So how do we connect all of those pieces? You know, a lot of us, once we start getting out of balance, is like we're just like this big box of jigsaw puzzle pieces that got thrown all over the floor, and they don't get put back together so well sometimes, and we're missing pieces, and our corner piece might be missing. So it's looking at that and trying to find out how we're going to put all of that back together again.
So where do you start with that?
That's a really good question.
How does somebody start putting the pieces together?
Yeah. One of the things, you know, just another approach is I think we had on our previous show, I actually look at blood chemistry numbers, and I start looking at some emotional factors in that. And I think the key is in putting things back together is that we're not isolating, you know, one area. Like, we're not just isolating allergies. We have to look at the physical manifestation of the allergy. We have to look at, you know, the emotional aspect of that, of what's congested in our life. You know, what are we holding back? What are we not, you know, flushing out of our system that's an irritant? And looking at every aspect of that in the body is going to show us, okay, what is the root cause? How do we bring that to balance with all three pieces? So it actually does come back to mind, body, spirit. And we have to have that triad in place, or it's just we're not going to get very far.
So emotions do play a huge role in how people feel. And can you talk to that a little bit more, like maybe relate it to something more common, like how emotions play into a cold as opposed to, I mean, we can imagine how they play into something like cancer, but can you relate it as how it plays into something more viral, just a little bit, you know, more acute rather than chronic?
Sure. You know, one of the aspects with emotion and our emotional anatomy is what do we welcome in to our energy field? Because we're all just pretty much these walking bundles of energy that has this atomic mass that presents a physical manifestation. In that energy field, what happens that compromises that or weakens that or allows something in, like a cold, so to speak? Why are we exposed to that? Because every other existing organic matter on this planet also has an energy frequency or energy field. And it can't become compatible or invasive to our energy field unless we're operating like on that same frequency or a welcoming or an inviting frequency, just like, you know, two magnets coming together, or if you put them in and they repel each other. It's like which pole of that magnet are we functioning from, so to speak. In something acute like a cold or a fever or a viral, the body with this just this really very simplistic attitude with the immune system of recognize self or not self and flush the irritant. That's pretty much our basic immune response. So when something comes in and we don't know, is it self, is it not self, because it's on that frequency of, oh, well, it kind of vibrates at the same resonance. It should be okay. It should be safe to me. But it's because our frequency or our energetic being has been taken down to a different level than what we should be functioning at, than our optimal level. And emotions can do that. You know, of course, nutrition can do that. We all know that. That's a physical factor. But environment and our emotion, if we're suppressing things or we have stress, you know, stress raises all kinds of chemicals, like cortisol is a stress hormone, and all kinds of different biochemical responses in the body with stress. That can take our frequency down. And if we stay under a chronic stress for too long, then that takes our frequency down, that we're not rebuilding it, that it operates on that lower frequency. And that's what invites in a viral or a bacterial, because they're kind of resonating with us. So the body cannot determine at that first level of immune defense that it's not self, because, oh, you know, it's kind of on the same channel. It kind of, you know, has the same numbers as me. So, yeah, it must be me. So that gives you one example. Having emotions like anger, or even you have three different categories of, you have grief, you have anger, and you have fear. And within those three categories, you have a vented or a suppressed activity going on. And with that, we have to determine what we're going to do to shift that so that our frequency is back up and charged to where it needs to be.
Hmm. Well, I know that one of the reasons I asked you to, like, to, you know, use cold as an example is I'm actually getting ready to do a presentation tomorrow night. I was invited down to the Richmond area to do a presentation, and the topic I'm doing is curing the common cold and flu, which I use from Stephen Horn's Herbal Hour information, and
uh-huh.
just find that fascinating. So I could kind of sense what I do before I teach a class is, or any kind of class on whatever topic that I'm teaching, is I have a tendency to vibrate with that to kind of get into an understanding of it. So I've been fine up until when I started to actually create the PowerPoint presentation and get the stuff together, and boom, within like an hour and a half of doing that, putting that together, I started to develop cold symptoms.
Oh, my word. See, yeah, so you really dropped down to that frequency.
Right, just reading the information and just getting into it and, you know, just moving into the understanding, because I do resonate. I'm empathic, and I resonate, you know, from that learning perspective. And so I'm thinking, well, wow, when I get into some of these other topics that I've, you know, scheduled myself to speak on, I really don't want to necessarily experience all of those. So for in that situation, how do we keep that up? What are some of the tricks of the trade to, like, understanding that emotional anatomy enough to not let something like that happen?
Well, I really am a firm believer in affirmations. And there's two pathways with the affirmations, because, you know, we can do the I am statement of, you know, I am operating on a higher frequency. Well, you know, that's good, but there's always, you know, it's kind of like that cartoon with the little angel and the little devil on each shoulder, because we can do those affirmations and say, I am, you know, and for me, it's like, okay, I can look in the mirror and say, I am thin, and it's like, yeah, what are you talking about? You're so funny. You know, you get that little voice on the other side, the little devil going, yeah, lady, you're taking something. It's like, okay, so we have that seed of self-doubt that's been socialistically conditioned. You know, we have belief systems, we have life patterns. Our life patterns are pretty much our emotional DNA that we come into this realm with. Our belief systems are our socialistic conditioning, our religious conditioning, and other factors that help form who we are, you know, throughout, all the way up, you know, to about age 40, according to Wayne Dyer, is when we're being fed all the lies of our life that we're being socialistically conditioned. And from 40 to about 50, we start figuring out and sorting out those lies. And then he said, and then the evening of your life after age 50, it's like you just don't buy into them anymore. That's where the wisdom comes in. So I always like that analogy of the three segments he uses. So in that aspect of using affirmations, Michael Loisy has a book, and it's called The Law of Attraction, and he's done a lot of different research on it and used some of the Hicks work and, you know, a lot of the secret affirmation stuff. The body accepts verbs much easier than a definitive I am statement. So you can always say, I am in the process of raising my frequency, you know, or I am in the process of not being friendly to incoming bacteria. The only thing is with the not phrases, the brain doesn't pick up not so much. So it's all in about the way you phrase it. So I really like how you can shift frequency, which on a scientific level, it's actually been shown that, you know, you can do blood draws and even moving them, and this is some of Thompson's work, even 50 miles away, you can still change the blood that's out of the body by shifting frequency, whether it's by emotional healing, just smelling an essential oil, or doing affirmations. The blood that's outside the body still shifts because we're all in this energy, this common thread that binds all of us. So in doing an affirmation, it actually physically, on a biochemical level, can shift your blood chemistry.
And I find that so fascinating. I mean, that to me is just like a testament of what the body is, you know, just the miracles of the body.
And it is, and it's so much about energy. And this is kind of where it came in that I really, really started getting fascinated more by emotional healing work with emotional DNA. When they did the genotype studies and they said we're throwing out junk DNA, it was actually emotional DNA because it wasn't labeled. It was transpiring, it was moving, it was changing because emotions change. So they have a frequency that shifts. And I got really fascinated by all the energy part of the emotional healing because my background, my undergrad's in physics. So it started like really resonating with me that, you know, you have, you know, the theory of special relativity of how an energy or a light force is affected by gravity. Well, if a light force is affected by gravity, we're made up of energy like a light force. Of course, we're going to be affected by things that we have to cross that barrier or that we come in contact with. I mean, it's basically the same special relativity principle that we apply to the body of how this energy field is either in accord or discord with our energy field. And that energy can be emotions, it can be EMF frequencies, you know, like what we're exposed to. It can be radiation, you know, just having an X-ray. I mean, it can be all kinds of energy sources. But I think the one thing that kind of gets dismissed in society is how much energy emotions hold of how they affect the physical body.
So with looking at this and saying like emotional anatomy, I was just, you know, looking at that thinking, you know, when we think of human anatomy, there are different parts to that. So are there different parts to the emotional anatomy?
There are. I mean, there are different ways to teach it. You know, a lot of times you'll have the 7-point chakra system, and then you can have the 12 points is what I use with the class that I do with them, basically on the Kabbalah, because I can structure it that it has 22 pathways to these 12 energy centers. Those 22 pathways can relate to so many things of how energy is transported and delivered. On a biochemical level, you can apply the amino acids to that aspect. You can apply the neurotransmitters to those aspects. So it becomes a whole system that just helps you basically map out. It's like doing a wiring map kind of the body so that you can see what's going on. Emotional healing, when your home or your body is occupied, then is it occupied with positive energy or is it occupied with negative energy? So that's kind of like those two magnets. Are you attracting or repelling with how your frequency is? So the emotional healing process really is the process of just reclaiming our body, of how we are restructuring that frequency. And you can do that by working on those 12 energy centers, of understanding like our hardwiring. Our hardwiring is basically, you know, we are an entity, we're an organism, a life form, and we have pain and we have pleasure. And some of those pains and pleasures are an illusion. And I love, there's another book, it's really some challenging reading sometimes, and I can't remember the author, but it's called Our Disappearing Universe, and talking about how many things we present in our life are illusions. And I quite honestly, I had to read it a couple of times going, okay, wait, did I read that right? Oh, my gosh, this is changing the way I think about everything. So sometimes that same concept, it's hard for us to grasp of how having this epiphany or this awakening in ourselves with an emotion, or even just releasing an emotion that we've held on to for years just because we thought it was normal, how that can awaken our senses that we kind of doubt ourselves. Like, we kind of start, you know, doing that sabotage. Like, oh, no. I'm always supposed to think that this is hard, or I'm always supposed to think that this is painful. You know, for example, going to the dentist, so many people have that fear of going to the dentist because they associate it with pain. You know, and you can do the self-hypnosis, and you can do other things that you go in, and it can actually be a pleasant experience at the dentist. I know that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, because we've just been socialistically conditioned to think the dentist equal pain. So it's about changing these dragons and how we can deceive our hardwiring. And that's by saying, oh, I'm really looking forward to going to the dentist today. This is going to be a really pleasurable experience. It's going to be a positive outcome for my mouth, for my teeth, for my body. And the healthier I am everywhere, the healthier my body will be. So it really is that mind over matter of changing your perspective. And it's hard. I mean, we're human, you know, and we have all this years of conditioning. So I find myself slipping into it as well, just depending on who I'm around or what circumstance I'm around. And I try to tell myself, cancel. So it's like, okay, this is really hard. I'm like, oh, cancel. This process is becoming easier each time I do it. So that way I can look forward to the next time that I'm going to do it, because it becomes easier.
So you're canceling out that thought that it was hard.
You're canceling out the thought, yeah, because we have these little subconscious thoughts that we talk to ourselves all the time, you know, and it's like, oh, I'm not really good at that. And it's like, cancel. It's like, I am in the process of becoming better at this. That way you don't have the little angel devil thing on the shoulder, because if you're in process, it's forward motion. It's a verb. It's an action. So you have action. You're going forward. You're not saying, I am there yet, because then the body goes, yeah, right, lady, you know, you're in some kind of bubble. So it's like you have that little voice. We're all conditioned with it. So that's why I find out when I say I'm in the process of, or, you know, this is getting easier each time, or I'm experiencing this at the moment, and next time the experience is going to be more pleasant. You know, it's how we use verbs to talk to ourselves, and I do. I use the same thing with my cancer patients and it's not I have cancer. We get very possessive as Westerners, and we come in with these lists of diagnoses, and we own them, and they become nouns, and they become our possessions. I have fibromyalgia. We're owning it. It becomes a noun. But if we change that languaging, simple languaging changes our hardwiring. I am experiencing fibromyalgia at this moment. Then it gives us action, because verbs have movement. If they come in, they have to go out. It has a movement. A noun is a possession. We own it. We take it. We put it on a shelf. And then we have to make a conscious choice to purge that. And when we purge something that we own as a noun, it's getting rid of something. We feel like we're losing something. So it's a bit of a grief process to let go of that. No matter how bad that object or that disease was we're holding on to, it's still a grieving process to let go of an object or a noun. And with a verb, it just automatically assumes movement of, I'm experiencing this. So that gives it forward motion and progress, that it's okay to come in and go out, you know, with energy.
So I'm experiencing cold symptoms that'll be gone by the end of the show.
Yeah, there you go.
So That's fantastic.
I am experiencing cold symptoms as my learning experience, and I am done learning. Yeah, you know, it's just how you give it a time limit too in the body. And the body does listen to that, because we have the world of the brain, and that's our mind, our mental, and that's our thinking and perceiving world. You know, we have a spirit and emotional world, and that's the world of the heart, where we have feeling and we're being. And then, of course, we have our body, our physical, that's our gut reaction, and that's the doing and the reacting to stuff all comes in with that level. And within all of that, we have equilibrium or balance.
Right. So we have somebody in the chat room that's saying language becomes something like a self-fulfilling prophecy, so we should be mindful how we talk to ourselves.
Absolutely. Tell them to write that down. I want to use that quote. It's going on my Facebook today.
I'll be sure to get that and make sure it gets to you. So emotions, I just want to say, because emotions get a bad rap, but they actually serve a purpose. Do you address that at all?
Well, I think in our Western society, Lynn, we see emotions as a weakness. We've been socialistically conditioned that emotions are showing weakness, because we have this, again, this conditioning that becoming vulnerable or allowing those emotions to be on a surface level doesn't make us competent, or it doesn't make us ahead of the game, or, you know, we're revealing too much. It doesn't give us a game plan. And that's not actually the case. It's how we're conditioned. So we have, you know, our mental, emotional, and physical world that have to work cohesively together. And it doesn't mean that you have to walk around exhibiting emotions all the time of going, I'm so happy or I'm so upset. You know, it's not a cathartic process every second of every day. But it is a self-introspection. It's a self-journey that you do have to take time during the day, at least 20 to 30 minutes for yourself each day, to do a self-inventory of your emotions. Because otherwise, what are you doing with them? You're stuffing them somewhere. You're stuffing them in the liver. You're stuffing them in the kidney. You're stuffing them in the heart. You know, where are you putting these that they're going to have a physical manifestation if you're not doing self-inventory to address them throughout the day?
Right. Right. And, yeah, and everybody should dedicate some time to taking care of themselves in that. And it's something, really, I think, that can be built into, you know, part of their exercise regime.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, instead of zoning out watching the TV and all the horrible stuff on the news when you're on the elliptical or the treadmill, you know, put on a meditation CD on your iPod and do some self-introspection.
Right, exactly. Now, I wanted to ask if you could do, you had sent me, when we talked about this, you sent me a bunch of information, and it had the 12-point chakra system in it and some other information. I was wondering if you thought you might be able to describe to the listeners, like, where those 12 points are for people that are not familiar.
Okay, we'll try that. Let's paint a picture. Let's see how good our languaging really is today. it's actually, and it's a 0 to 11, 0 being the crown chakra. 0 is everything that's outside of the body, and the basic nature with that is your connection to the infinite of being present, being embodied, and it makes a connection. The 0 actually connects to the number 11, which is the root chakra, and that's your cranial sacral work. That a lot of your cranial sacral therapists, that's what they're doing, is reconnecting your 0 or your crown with your root. Then number 1 on this is the third eye, and that's like right in the center of the forehead and directly on a physical level related to pituitary. So this is our perception, our pure intelligence. And it gets balanced actually with the navel, the number 10, and that's where it ties into our intuitive feeling and our gut instinct feeling of how those two relate to each other. Some of the blockages that can occur there is you're not wanting to see yourself, or you're not wanting to really see reality. So we're just kind of closed and become unperceptive. The second point is actually on the right side. It's the right brain. This is our creative side, the spiritual mind side. This actually balances with the left brain as the number 3 point, and with the number 9 point of the liver, because when the liver is congested or we're storing anger there, we get blocked creativity. And it also blocks our ability to perceive new ideas or welcome in new relationships. So right brain controls a lot of that creative spiritual mind. On the third point, we have the left brain, and that's our logical, physical, scientific mind. And it actually balances, again, with the right brain, but also with the pancreas, which is the number 8. And this, the weakness of this left brain is we're not able to reject irrational thinking. We get blocked scientific or mathematical abilities, and then we get problems with logical and symbolic thinking. So we start having kind of a warped sense of perception on things. And then we start craving sugar. That's the physical manifestation of this when it's out of balance. So number 4 is the throat chakra. This is, of course, communication, and it's balanced with the solar plexus, which is this core bundle of nerves through the digestive system. So we can block self-expression here, and it makes us unable to connect logic or feelings. It becomes a bit disoriented that you're suppressing emotions and not speaking up for yourself. Number 5 is going to be on the left side is the heart. Right over the heart area. This is our mercy, compassion, openness to others. This one is balanced by number 6, which is the thymus, which is an immune center. Some of the weaknesses with cardiovascular, especially hardened heart, this is where we suppress grief. And that's the emotional pain, feeling unloved by others. So basically, feeling unloved by ourselves is a big one here, too. We don't have the ability to trust and connect with others because we don't love ourselves. Number 6 is on the right-hand side is thymus. Thymus is kind of more in the middle, but to the middle, to the right. This is about judgment, about self-esteem. And there are so many more thymus issues going on than anyone realizes. It's kind of this neglected part of the endocrine system, and there's so much thymus stuff that all of our emotional healing can come back to relating to thymus of how it relates to heart with our poor self-image, our inability to recognize and respect social boundaries. So this is like people that have no sense of right or wrong, of, you know, like crime stuff, the poor judgment and lack of order and self-discipline. This is becoming more dominant in today's society, and this weakness starts with the thymus gland. Usually the thymus is so far out of balance because the heart has been shut down, the openness to others, or having suppressed grief, that because socially it's not okay to express grief in our society sometimes. It's like, oh, suck it up, or, you know, buck up and get going, you know, keep going, you know, move through it. We always get those phrases that go on, and we don't get our proper healing time with grief. A lot of people do not go through the whole experience of grief. Number 7 is our solar plexus, and the solar plexus, again, is that core bundle of nerves in the digestive system, but it's our centeredness, our inner peace, our balance, our beauty. This is the one area that I really like that Pilates works on, is working on the core structure of strengthening that. That also, on an emotional level, helps us to not feel so scattered. The weaknesses of solar plexus is fear. So you can become chronically worried, that disruption of inner peace, the ability to cope with stress or stay centered, and you kind of start reacting to stuff instead of acting, and we become in a reactionary mode. And a lot of businesses are really run by reactionary management of, oh my gosh, this crisis came up, so now we have to do this, instead of taking an action. So this is about how we act for self, and that can be tied back to the throat, because its balancing system is the languaging, and that is the self-languaging of how we talk to ourselves too. Number 8 is on the right-hand side, just, you know, in the middle of the body, and it's the pancreas, and that's how we receive pleasure. We experience joy and laughter, and it is balanced by the left brain and the liver. But the weaknesses are we can get really over-serious. We can get very intellectual, very much in our left brain, no sense of humor. We become workaholics. That was the craving for sweets I mentioned too. Because when you have a lack of joy or happiness in your life, you're trying to find sweetness from outside sources, mostly sugar. And that, again, you know, depletes the immune system. On the right-hand side is liver, and that's our will to live, our desire to survive. We also use the energy of the liver to push away pain and struggle against opposition. It's kind of like our staunch stoic opposition that we have within ourselves. And again, it's part of the core. The 7, 8, 9, 10 are part of the core. So in strengthening core in a physical aspect, you're also going to strengthen it in an emotional aspect too. So weaknesses are becoming a doormat. You just get run over. And then anger is going to be the emotion associated with this. You start suppressing anger. And when you suppress anger, you start kind of caving in. You kind of cave in that whole core part of your body on the physical level, and the shoulders kind of hunch over. That's a suppressed anger. Then that can actually, if you don't vent that or take care of that or strengthen that core, can lead to depression. The other, number 10, is, you know, right down the navel area, is the connection to mother. And this is the ability to receive nurturing and to sustain life. And this balances with our third eye, so our ability to see things. So this, it's an inner belief. And this has a lot to do with worthiness, that we feel worthy to be loved, to be nurtured. Sometimes when that's out of balance, we become hyperachievers. We go into that poverty consciousness that we feel like we're not able to attract prosperity. Our digestive system goes off. Weight issues, either inability to gain weight or inability to lose weight, is affected by the emotions connected to the navel. And we also can have a difficulty having emotional bonds with others, of being connected on a social level when number 10 is out. And then to our bottom, which is the root, right above the pubic bone, is number 11. It's our this is our connection to Father. And that's about feeling safe and feeling protected and having stability and home, our earth energy. So when we get disconnected from earth, or feel insecure, we can feel insecure, we can feel unable to put down roots. And this could also be related to our libido, our sexuality, that we kind of cut this energy off and it's difficult to enjoy sexuality. So this can also be signals of abuse or neglect as a child, and we have to work on this whole connection back to crown chakra with that, which is one of my favorites with cranial sacral energy, of how it reconnects all of the points in the system by working on the cranial and the sacral areas. So that's all of our 12 from 0 to 11.
Well, that I found that really interesting, especially the information about the thymus and the heart, because when you were talking about that, I'm actually working with a couple that they are, you know, I was wondering what the balance between or balancing the thymus, I was wondering what that was, and I was wondering if that was opening the heart, because the man in this relationship is really open-hearted. I mean, like, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He knows what's going on. Whereas the woman in the relationship, she definitely was raised very different, very deceptive, deceiving family, and she's really closed down. She's really manipulative. And it's just interesting to watch these two people interact together. So that was just my thought processes as I was going through that. But what is the balance to the thymus? Because that is a part of the problem in the world that we – you know, we're just going on, and there's so much, you know, just lack of compassion happening. Well, I mean, that's shifting, but there has been so much lack of compassion. What do you see as the balance to bring that thymus in balance?
Well, it is hardening. It's our protective stance, our stoic protectiveness against the world, because of the lack of trust going on. And it is funny what you mentioned about the two people, because we do tend to attract our healing energy in a partner or in people we surround ourselves with, that the universe is putting that in our face to help us heal stuff. So it's the yin, the yang, the balance of finding equilibrium. And, you know, energetically, just like when your energetic system's down and how you can attract the bacteria, Well, when your energetic system's out of balance, you can also attract the balance in your partner or in a relationship so that you can balance each other out. And the thymus, really, I'm learning more and more about this, so I'm constantly studying too. And I just met a doctor that I worked with in Singapore last week, and his name is Enrico Melson, who is from Los Angeles, and he's now practicing in New Zealand. And we met, he came up and worked with us in Singapore, and we had some very, very interesting discussions. And we both started talking. He brought up the whole thymus connection, and we started talking about that. And I'm like, well, you know, I really have to work a lot with that when I'm doing emotional healing with people. The thymus is about forgiving yourself for mistakes that you've made in your life. And we're not, our society is not forgiving of us, so we don't see it as okay to forgive ourselves. So it's this defense mechanism and this barrier that we've put up. And it's understanding your infinite worth and being organized and orderly. And the way things move at such a rapid pace of this chronic stress level with people, it becomes chaos. You know, and in Chinese medicine, it's interesting, like even wind energy is chaos. And chaos, on the positive aspect, chaos opens new doors. Because when things are getting stirred up, you have a new door opening. And in learning to open the new doors, you're also learning to set boundaries and have appropriate social boundaries with others. And you also, with a healthy thymus, can protect yourself when other people violate your boundaries. And you can do that from a healthy standpoint without shutting the heart down. Because you can have loving feelings towards other people. Does it mean you have to be in love with them and they're in your personal inner space? No. It just means that you're sending out an unconditional love to other people that you don't have to interact with them on that level. It's just a transference of energy.
So when you're working with somebody that's got a lot of thymus issues, where do you have them start?
Well, you know, I like doing a lot of flower essences. I like doing a lot of the essential oils when I do the emotional healing. In working on the thymus, in balancing this, sunflower is actually one of the flower essences I like because it helps with the distorted sense of self and also helps with low esteem or somebody that goes into overcompensation, that they go into the vanity part of it. There's some others. Water violet is for people that become withdrawn or antisocial because of a weakened thymus. Yarrow is protection against the environment, especially for people that get easily depleted if they're out in social situations or they're being drawn upon energetically, almost like they have energetic parasites. The yarrow can help protect them from that. And you can use yarrow in an herbal in a capsule form as well. I use, as far as herbs and supplements on this, a lot of immune-building stuff. So my favorite one here is colostrum, and that's just, you know, that first breast milk from mother, that nurturing, and you can do colostrum in a capsule. There's some that have, like, the ganoderma, which is a mushroom that comes with it, which is an immune factor. Thyme, just the thyme that we use, you know, like rosemary, sage, and thyme, the thyme that you use as a cooking herb. That's actually another good one for the thymus area. A lot of it I do with affirmations about self-worth or self-care. And if we don't take care of these blockages, these negative belief systems about self and how we belittle, teasing or humiliation of ourselves and others, and then that belief gets internalized, if we don't take care of that, it starts turning into respiratory and lung issues. A lot of times lymphatic, you know, lymphoma, the cancer, autoimmune, weak immune system. So there's a whole lot of issues that can occur. As far as essential oils for this, my favorite one is called Inula. It's Inula graveolens, and that is just the essential oil of elecampane. And it's actually kind of a greenish oil. It's actually quite a beautiful oil. And just misting that around yourself during the day in just a water base can help as well.
I never heard of that. That's pretty interesting. Well, so that's some good things to deal with a lot of things that are going on. Thank you for that. for sharing that information. So now you were saying that you do work with people. Do you do this in a class, or is this part of the individual stuff that you do? How does that work?
Both. I do teach this in the emotional anatomy class to practitioners to teach them how to use it with their patients. I've done that before as well, and Stephen Horn teaches it also, and he has a new book out as well called The Emotional Success. I think it's The Key to Success of Emotions. I should know the name of his book since he's my business partner. I'm not doing a very good job promoting him, am I?
I can help you with that. I don't know what he changed the name of the book to, but we did an interview with him back probably at the beginning of the year regarding that. So, you can look him up, and he's changed the name of the book because it was the working title, but we do have that in the archive where he talked about that.
Yeah, and you can just go to treelite, treelite.com, and my material is on there as well as Stephen's material, so you can find it there. And and working with this, doing the emotional anatomy class, Stephen teaches the class on the emotions that way. I have a process that I developed that I trademarked, and it's called CLEAR, and it stands for Cellular Level Emotional Access and Release. And with the CLEAR process, it's a very simplified process that you don't have to go through years of therapy and psychobabble to determine, oh, you know, where did this originate? You know, that's almost like you're overexpressing throat chakra sometimes to throw other things out of balance of going back and having to do the talk so much about it. So it just accesses the emotional DNA on a frequency level via, like, physics and via the limbic system with aromatherapy. And you're accessing through these 12 points. You're going in and just shifting how that DNA or that energy frequency attaches to your physical DNA and just releasing it, and then going back and shifting that frequency to a whole other channel with affirmation phrases. And it's just a process after I do an initial assessment with someone and feel like that, you know, we have some very serious emotional blockages or serious emotional issues that are going on, then we'll set them up for a CLEAR session and go through and just clear some things out with that.
Great. So the best place for people to find out your class work is at Stephen's website, treelite.com, or is there another place?
And I also have a website. My website is Balanced Health, the number 4, and then YOU, balancedhealth4u.com.
Okay.
And we're still in process of trying to get stuff up and running with that. I'm also working with a clinic in Singapore, you know, if you just happen to be in Singapore. And the name of our center is Verita, and you can check the website out for that as well. It's Verita, V-E-R-I-T-A, veritaadvancedwellness.com. And we have some really exciting things going on there that we're doing a whole integrative center with the blood chemistry, with the emotions, with every aspect, every healing modality, even having a whole foods, superfoods cafe on site. So it's a huge facility, and we're working on a prototype, this model, to open these all over the world.
Amazing. That was my question. Are you going to be bringing it to the U.S.?
That is our goal. We do have a couple of U.S. cities we're looking at. We have interest in Brazil. We have interest in Hong Kong. We have interest in Sri Lanka, you know. So it's a very timely thing because people want healing. People are starting to have this conscious awakening, and they want centers to be able to have like-minded and have help with that. So we are integrated as far as how we approach it from medical and as far as how we approach it from other healing modalities with the spiritual and the emotional, and offering Pilates and yoga and the Superfoods Cafe. And we have a staff of naturopaths and doing, you know, structural alignment osteopathically and the whole gamut of every healing aspect, and a coaching staff that can help, you know, determine which direction you need to go in. So you meet with your counselor and they tell you, okay, you need to see the naturopath first, or you need to do Pilates first, or you need to do structural integration first. So it really is a customized facility.
That's great. I would love to see those popping up all over the world, because I think that, well, I know they're so much more effective than what we have in place here in the U.S. today.
It is. We're looking forward. We're doing this prototype to make them franchisable clinics, and we're looking forward to really moving forward with that. You know, and the time is now. You know, when you keep saying, okay, well, you know, tomorrow, I'll get around to that tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is disease. So it's about taking charge of our health and our emotional health right now.
Right, exactly. That's awesome. So we're getting close to the end of our time. Did you have anything else you wanted to share on emotional anatomy or anything else that you wanted our listeners to know?
Oh, that's like a carte blanche. I like that.
I know. Hey, I mean, this is your time, so you use it as you want.
Well, I would like to emphasize the whole triad, Lynn. You know, I think we're so, again, socialistically conditioned to working just on the physical aspects of our health that the emotions kind of get minimized or put on the back burner. And there's such an important factor of how those physical manifestations occur, as well as our spiritual well-being. So whether you do prayer, whether you do meditation, whatever you find as your spiritual rejuvenation, it's about keeping all of those things in balance. And that way we become a very proactive, health-conscious, contributing individual instead of a reactionary individual that we're just struggling to keep up with the pace or to react to situations. And the more that we can pass this to our children of helping them understand, you know, you don't have to react to what's happening in your environment or in your school setting. You can choose to have an active stance of this is where I am and this is my conscious awareness, that I think it would really be a huge factor in not having kids doing a lot of the drug stuff, because if we can create an emotional, conscious, physical, and spiritual awakening with our children of teaching them tools like this, then we're going to have less of a drug issue.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Thank you for sharing that. And Dr. Ballas, I wanted to thank you very much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to be on here and share this information with our listeners. It's always a blessing and a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Lynn. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you very much. So I'm looking forward to keeping up with all the stuff that you have going on. And please do, you know, anytime you've got anything that is new or you want to get the word out, please keep the Honoring Hour in mind, because I'd be delighted to have you back on here.
Absolutely. Anytime. We'll just plan it again. It's fun. I think you have a great listening group. And, you know, just be sure and check out Verita Advanced Wellness, and let's all put some effort forth so that we can have more of these centers everywhere.
Oh, believe me, that's going to be one of the places I go when I'm done with this show. I'm excited.
Good.
I want to get the word out. I'd like to have one open up on the East Coast, so I'm putting
that
out.
Okay, I will put that request in for you.
Thank you so much for that. I hear Virginia Beach is a really open area to that kind of thing. So
yeah, there you have it.
Yep, there you go. That's close to
Washington. We might change the world.
There you go. There you go. Well, again, thank you so very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be here, and I look forward to having you back on and to working with you personally again.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. And I'd just like to thank everyone who's joined us today, both live and on the phone in the chat room and also in the archives in the future. Don't forget to check out the website, www.thehonoringhour.com. There's some holiday specials on there. Please do join us back on the 14th when we have Karen Wrigley, the animal communicator, on here. Really looking forward to that show. She's definitely a powerhouse. If you look at her website and you read her books, she's got some amazing information on there to share. So I hope that you've been enjoying your holiday season and continue to do so. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.